Thanks for listening to the Lori and Julia Show on your radio, on the app, on the stream, wherever you are, maybe even as a podcast in the future. And don't forget, if you listen on the app or on the stream, if you register to be a listener reward member, you can get listener rewards like AirPods, MyTalk gear, restaurant gift cards, and more.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And you know what we do Wednesday afternoons around this time?
Mm-hmm.
We shall we play a game?
We play a game.
Let's do
called Pop Culture Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had a thought.
Okay.
You know, this week has really been Hocus Pocus week.
Oh no!
On the Lori and Julia
I'm gonna
show.
Lose.
Because. You know, Brittany, I don't know about you guys, but Hocus Pocus is everywhere.
Yeah,
it
on
is.
My Twitter feed,
really
on
is.
BuzzFeed,
it's everywhere.
And there's a lot of been a pushback, like, you know, was it that good? I don't know.
I tried to watch it. I would question it.
I question you.
So what I thought we'd do today is let's go back in time to the year 1993 when Hocus Pocus came out. It came out in July, by the way, not Halloween, which was kind of weird. But
super weird.
I'm going to play a game where I'm going to read you either the TV guide description or the IMDb description of a handful of movies that
movies
also came out. These are all movies that also came out in 1993.
All right.
And I want to see if you can get them.
All right.
Okay, let's start number one. An affluent New York City couple finds their lives touched, intruded upon, and compelled by a mysterious young black man who is never quite who he says he is.
I have no, absolutely.
Okay.
No.
Let me
idea.
Give you another clue. It stars Will Smith.
I know.
And surprisingly, not Kevin Bacon.
Okay, is this when he is the Wall Street guy, the Wiz Kid?
No.
Oh.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, I know this wasn't the biggest film of 1993, but I figured the Kevin Bacon clue might help because you've ever played the game.
Yes, Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Right, which is based on the movie. Brittany, come on.
No,
nothing, huh?
I guess I don't know that it was
6 degrees of separation.
Oh, I didn't know that's what you were trying to say. I thought you were saying it was based. Oh, okay.
No,
got it.
Well, you know.
All right. I've never.
That was probably.
I've never seen that movie.
I was busy
that week.
I even knew the end of that phrase, but I was like, that can't be a movie.
6 degrees. I didn't either. All right.
Of all the movies on this list, that was probably the hardest.
Well, way to get it out of the
way.
Yeah. For
thanks
us.
For all setting up our self-esteem.
We're ready from here.
All right. The rest, I think, would be better. Again, these are movie descriptions from either TV Guide or IMDb. From movies from 1993. A young boy moves to a new neighborhood where he is taken in by a group of local baseball players. The new gang of friends.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Sandlot.
I said ding.
It doesn't matter.
I don't even know why I said ding.
I don't either.
It's weird.
It's Sandlot, isn't it?
It's totally Sandlot.
The Sandlot. Okay. Yes, I knew you'd get these.
You're killing me, Smalls.
All right.
I got one.
All Number right. three. A young man has always been told that he was too small to play college football.
Rudy.
Yeah, there you go. Rudy.
Oh, wow, this is your year.
Oh, no.
93.
Rudy, that movie.
Is good.
But it's kind of something in our family.
All right.
There's a dog named after the movie.
That's a pretty cute dog name.
Mm. More movies from 1993. A divorced dad poses as a British nanny.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
That was a good one. Hello, boys and girls. Hello.
Oh, no.
I love that movie.
It's so good. Okay. Ridiculous. It's so good.
Here's the next one. I think you'll get this one, too. A weatherman finds himself inexplicably living the same day over and over again.
Groundhog's Day.
I knew who it was. That movie, that one's all right, though, isn't it?
That's
a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I bet you out of all the movies
With Annie McDowell.
Yeah, I bet you of all the movies on this list, Groundhog Day and Sandlot are maybe some of the ones that people still watch over and over to this day.
Rudy's so good.
Rudy's
so
up there, too, yep.
Yeah.
One I didn't pick, another one of my favorites is Dazed and Confused. But anyways.
Okay.
All right, number six. Is it? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. A recently widowed man's son calls a radio talk show.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Sleepless in Seattle. 3-2 Julia.
And that boy was so cute.
Yeah, he was very cute.
Oh, gosh.
All right, I think you might get this one, too, I think. Number 7, Dr. Richard Kimball.
Doc Holliday.
Unjustly accused of murdering his wife, must find the real killer.
The fugitive.
The fugitive.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that. Good for you.
Thank you.
All right, this is kind of a, this was an actual description on, I think, IMDb. Aliens with conical crania.
Mars. Attacks.
Crash land on Earth.
Alien.
That's, those are good guesses. The word also might be pronounced conical, and maybe that'll
help. Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
No,
attack from the conicals
from SNL.
Correct.
Oh, Coneheads.
Coneheads. You gave it to her, Brittany.
You did give it to me.
But sometimes you just have to give it to someone.
Was there literally a movie called Coneheads?
Yes,
and it came out inexplicably in 1993. Like,
I didn't know
15 years passed when anybody would have cared to see Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin. But they did. All right, two left. I think an easy one and a hard one.
All right.
In German-occupied Poland during World War II, an industrialist gradually becomes concerned for his Jewish workforce.
Schneider's List.
Schindler's List.
Schindler's List. Same thing.
Yes, Schneider's List.
You know. I think
we're both getting a 0.5.
Yeah, okay, agreed. Because I don't think it would be respectful.
It isn't. You're right.
Yeah, Schneider's List was from One Day at a Time.
No, but I was, I was.
Yeah, I did. I actually got it because you got it.
All right.
So that's 0.5 is perfect.
That's a great movie.
And then this one I think is going to be tough. Just based on the clue, but maybe I'll give you some extra clues to get you there. A British soldier kidnapped by IRA terrorists soon befriends one of his captors, who then becomes drawn into the soldier's world.
Is it Daniel Day-Lewis?
And then there's a surprising penis.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
A character you think for most of the film is a woman.
Oh, it's a woman. All right. It's Oh, come on. Who is it Jodie Foster or something?
Oh, I believe...
Papa, can you hear me? Yentl. It's Yentl.
No. Oh. There was no surprising penis in Yentl, I don't think.
It is a woman.
I didn't think they were saying this.
I know.
Okay, wait.
It starred Stephen Ray, Miranda Richardson, Forrest Whitaker, and Jay Davidson as the, I guess, transgender?
I don't know. Coming to America.
It had a song by Boy George as the theme song.
Come a chameleon. Is it chameleon?
No, it was. Let me see if I can play it for you.
All right.
Maybe I can skip ahead.
Oh, I have no idea.
The Crying Game.
There you go. Oh, it was a tie.
You win.
Right. The Crying
Game.
You won.
Okay, but The Crying Game is a good movie.
That was a huge movie.
That was a good movie. That's a twisted movie.
And that was one of those, you know, like, what's the Sixth Sense or whatever, where once you know the twist.
Right.
Like everybody had, keep it a secret. And that was obviously, you know, you didn't see a lot of trans
roles.
And you didn't see a lot of male frontal.
Right. Okay.
I don't know.
That was a really good game. You did a really good job.
Thank you. 1993. Who knew that
you killed it, Julia.
See if you can guess which one of all those won the Oscar for Best Picture.
Was it Schindler's List?
Yes,
it was Schindler's List.
Okay, because this was one of my questions today, is if you could select a movie sequel that would be better than the original, what movies would you select? And then I just kind of Googled like the top movies. And Schindler's List is at the top movies. The Godfather. But they had sequels. But Schindler's List didn't. Shawshank Redemption is one of my favorite movies.
So wait, the question is fiction, like a hypothetical sequel?
No, yeah. But it's a movie that existed that was great.
But you thought
if there could be a sequel to that movie, that would even be better. Because, you know, some movies are so good. You're like, this doesn't need a sequel. I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it to go on.
I misunderstood the question.
So it would be if you know, what movie did you love? And if they could come out with something that you wouldn't be disappointed. Like, I would have wanted a better Dirty Dancing 2 with the same cast.
You
know, what about a Sound of Music 2 with those guys? You know,
I'm good on
that. That would have been good.
Come on, what do you got against the Sound of Music kids?
Von Trapp's, I don't need to know more about him. I'm good.
Oh, Julia.
She's 15 going on 16 or whatever. She's
all right.
Good.
Think of all the songs that could have done in the 50s.
Gone with the Wind, if that would have had a sequel, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's a great, Rhett Butler's People, I'm going to write. You never brought in my book.
Oh, now you remember that?
I just did. That was random. All right.
There was kind of a sequel to Gone with the Wind, right? I mean, eventually, like in the 90s or something. 93, perhaps.
What was it called? No, I don't know. But there's a great book out there, people, if you want to read a great book.
Okay, so there's people. I misunderstood you. I thought you were asking us, what did we think was better as a sequel than the original?
All right, well, then go with that one. Well, we've got a minute left.
I would say any of the Lord of the Rings, because they had to kind of set the pace for everything. Harry Potter's, anything that's long enough to have like three or four of them. I think the first one has to initiate the rules of the world. Okay. And the second one, they can actually go on plot. So I think that happens a lot.
But Star Wars, I didn't think that was true, because I thought the first Star Wars was great.
You know, a lot of people are big Empire Strikes Back fans.
I did like that one too, though.
And a lot of people say it was darker and more visually exciting.
Well,
but you know, I'm just saying.
Yep.
But I think that movie comes up a lot when people mention this game. Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know, the second Star Trek movie with The Wrath of Khan with Ricardo Montalban.
I've never seen a Star Trek movie.
Oh, then start with the second one. The first one's kind of a snoozer. And I thought Superman 2 was kind of better than Superman 1.
Oh.
Those are just some thoughts.
And then I did read that a lot of people think the second Thor is good, which I think they are on drugs. So
is that the Ragnarok or is that different? I've never seen either, but everybody tells me I should watch Thor Ragnarok.
No, I think Ragnarok is good, but I think the first, I wouldn't say by any means better. It kind of has a weird...
It's like funnier or something, right?
Yes, it's more, goofier. Yeah. And it's kind of got outer world stuff and space stuff. And so, and there's like fun Hulk situations, but it feels like kind of jumping around a bit.
All right. Well, thank you, theater critics. One and
very
two.
Welcome.
We're
going to
take
welcome.
A quick break. And when we come back, it's time for the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Holly, what do we got?
All right, well, hey, before we get to the Dirt Alert, I want to go back to the conversation you guys were having before the break about sequels that you wish were happening. Well, good news for you, Julia. This was announced back in August that there is going to be a direct sequel to Dirty Dancing happening in the near future.
That's right.
Whoa.
That's right.
Oh, you manifested it.
Jennifer Grey, baby herself,
is
starring and executive producing a new Dirty Dancing movie.
I think that's fun, don't you?
You don't want to know my opinions.
All right,
on
we
Dirty
don't.
Dancing.
All right, I'm not going to ask you. All right.
All right, let's move on to the Dirt Alert. But if you're a fan, good news for you. So Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are going to appear before a judge in November to discuss custody of the kids over the holiday. Remember, they're still married.
It's just gross.
How old is their oldest kid?
Yeah.
In college. He's an adult.
Okay.
That would be Maddox. He's off. Well, the last time we checked in, I don't know if he's still there or not, but he was in college in South Korea. So according to sources at Us Weekly, the holiday visitation has been set before the custody trial, but Brad will see the kids on Christmas. He's hoping he gets increased custodial time with the kids. He would have them overnight for the holidays this year. The decision is going to be made by the judge in November.
Yeah. Okay.
So keeping you updated.
Thank you. Thank you.
On that very critical information.
The kids don't want to go with him. I mean, doesn't it just seem like they have their whole life at hers?
Yeah,
like it's just
at
like
at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're so much older. A lot of them can just decide time too.
I know.
But whatever.
Well, there you go.
And, tell us more.
Other celebrity relationship news. Grey's Anatomy star Jesse Williams is finally divorced. That took about 3 years. He settled his divorce with his ex-wife, Erin Drake Lee. So it seems like they split things pretty amicably. But that one made headlines back in the day. There was some cheating going on there, but it seems that Jesse and Erin have finally settled.
Can I just do one other Grey's Anatomy side thought?
Please.
The beautiful Patrick Dempsey.
Yes.
Who shows up on our wall many times. He was on last night with Jimmy Kimmel for his new show, Devils. It's on the CW. It's just weird. But anyway.
Yeah.
He was beautiful.
He's just a beautiful man.
He just is beautiful.
He is.
Any other breaking news about Patrick Dempsey?
Back to you.
I would like to actually help you out. I agree.
Back to you.
Beautiful.
He's beautiful.
Beautiful.
He's so much better looking than he looks on the TV show.
Oh.
The TV show makes him look old. He looks so good.
All right, back to you. It's a hot hat trick over there with Patrick Dempsey. Agreed. Let's talk about Cardi B. She admits that she was in bed with her on-again, off-again husband Offset when she accidentally posted topless photos on Instagram.
Oops.
Oops.
How do you accidentally post? Yeah, whatever.
I don't,
because you can edit. You can hit an edit button and take it down right away.
That's true. But when you're a celebrity, there are people whose sole job
is to follow you and just get it. All right.
Yes. Yes. All right. It takes a half second. And also, what didn't she try turning her phone off to prevent it from uploading? And then there's the whole, it's been all up right. for all yeah. two, all you know, right. 2 minutes.
I get it.
Well, and it's like one of those things, you know, we've all done it.
I have. I posted a picture of Madonna by accident the other day, and I meant to send it to Lori.
Yes.
But it was her face kind of goofy looking. And I'm like, this, what is she doing now?
Are you talking about the pictures of her with the pink hair and the face filters?
Yeah. I literally was sending it to Lori, but it ended up on Instagram. So I can see how this would happen. I'm like, crap. How do I get that done? Because I didn't even write anything. I just posted the click. And I'm like, I just wanted to say to Lori, here's your girl.
Honestly, that photo looked so unlike Madonna that your fans probably thought, Julia looks super weird.
Was like, why? Here you go.
Yeah. All right. That photograph of Madonna is on her Instagram account. She dyed her hair pink, which looks pretty cute on her.
Agreed.
The face filter choice that Madonna selected for that. I just, you're just okay.
I just, when your face is that iconic and you start using filters, it's just you need people in your life to tell you not a great idea.
No.
She doesn't have anybody like that in her life.
That's why she needs us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's one of those things too, you know, you find yourself maybe scrolling in places on Instagram where maybe you shouldn't be scrolling and you're creeping on somebody's photos from 2017 and your fat finger hits the like button.
The worst. Yep. The worst.
It's so bad. So we're going to move on. I've never done that before. Oh, we're going to talk about a new project with Joaquin Phoenix.
I saw this.
So Joaquin Phoenix is teaming up with director Ridley Scott for a new Napoleon movie.
Hmm.
Crickets?
No,
I think it could be good.
It could be great.
You know, good old Napoleon Bonaparte, French military leader, emperor of France at one point in time. Now, Ridley Scott has just wrapped The Last Duel in Ireland. That movie stars Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. So that's what they've been doing. That's why we have not seen Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas doing their strolls in Venice Beach, because he's been in Ireland shooting that movie. So that means we have a lot of paparazzo moments to look forward to in the near future.
Exciting. Mm-hmm. No, you know what? Now that I think about it, has there ever been like a really high budget Napoleon movie?
No, I kind of would be interested in it.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's been tried. It's been attempted. Stanley Kubrick tried to make a Napoleon movie back in the day, but it never happened.
Well, then I'm thumbs up.
Thumbs up
Let's
for that.
Bring it on.
All right. Well, here's another movie that's coming down the pipeline based on the true life story of somebody who actually existed. We're getting a Sammy Davis Jr. biopic.
Hmm.
And Lena Waithe is going to be producing and developing this movie.
I'm excited for this. He had a story.
Yes. So this movie is going to be based on the 1996 biography Sammy Davis Jr., My Father, which was written by Sammy's daughter, Tracy Davis, and a writer named Dolores Barclay. So this is going to be like a biopic. Now, there's another Sammy Davis Jr. movie that's in development, I believe. And that movie specifically focuses on the relationship between Sammy Davis Jr. and actress Kim Novak.
Yes.
This is different. So this is just going to be the life of Sammy Davis Jr.
You know,
I'm all for this.
Yeah, I am too. But it does bug me when they come out with two big movies around the same thing, and then you find yourself confused. Like last year was Ted Bundy, doesn't it feel like?
Yep.
Where they came out with so many Ted Bundys at once.
Your Nexus thing that you're watching. Yes. Stars is coming out with it.
That
too.
Was just Max doing, or no, Stars doing HBO Dirty, but.
Yeah, that's right. Because that NXIVM docuseries with the big India Oxenberg interview, I believe that airs in the next couple of days on Stars.
Yeah.
And The Vow is still going. Right. I'm always like, is this the last episode of The Vow? The NXIVM documentary on the HBO? No. Oh, wait, we got more.
Holly, are you staying strong on it?
Yes.
Me too. And I'm exhausted. And I thought last episode was the last, but I think they're going to go to 10.
Oh.
We're on 8.
Here's the pro tip with these NXIVM documentaries. If you haven't started The Vow on HBO, I would say don't bother. Check out the Stars one. Maybe listen to the CBC podcast that's about the story of the cult NXIVM, because The Vow, it's riveting, but it's messy, and sometimes it's hard to follow.
Yeah, they're all over the place timeline-wise. And also, you could skip two random ones at your choice. You could pick, because they repeat everything.
Right. Yeah. This is a story that we brought to you earlier on in the day, and I couldn't tell if you guys were excited about this or not. Dexter is coming back on
Showtime. Never watched it.
So you never watched it?
No, Lori loved it, though.
All right.
So. I liked it, too. And the thing is, out of all the series, I remember being addicted, thinking the concept was just amazing. And then I don't remember the last couple seasons, so I think they did what they usually do. They jumped the shark or something, got a little bit repetitive. So maybe if they were a reboot, would make it good.
All right. Well, this is going to be Michael C. Hall's coming back as Dexter. We're going to get 10 episodes of this on Showtime. We don't have a lot of details about it, other than it's going to start production early next year. They're hoping for a fall 2021 release. And yeah, I think that a lot of people kind of had the similar attitude to you, Brittany, where it was like, well, we were really into it at the beginning, and then it just kind of went some places.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of lost interest in it. But, you know, 10 episodes. Hopefully it'll be nice and tight storytelling there.
I liked it. It was filmed in a very eerie, fun way.
I said to Brittany, who's this? And she said, Avril Lavigne. So yes. You like that. All right. We are delighted right now to have our colleague, Steve Patterson, on the show with us. Steve from Donna and Steve and Twin Cities Live. Hi, you.
How are you guys?
Okay. How long has it been since you've been on our show?
You know, the last time I was on the Lori and Julia show, to my knowledge, I was maybe in a Twin Cities Live meeting. Julia is in the hall, and then I recall you cornering me. And this is a time when social distancing wasn't a thing. And as I recall, you sort of grabbed me by the forearm and said, listen, I need you to come and fill in after your show. Can you do that, honey? You can do that, right? You can do that.
That sounds just like her.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Is there anyone left at work?
And then the whole time, the short time that I, because I was only there, I was, you know, got there late, and I'm only there for a couple hours. It was essentially 2 hours of the Twin Cities getting to enjoy two of the more opposite personalities, which are Julia, who's like, how's he going to react if I say this? What about this? What about this? We did Hollywood Speak. I didn't even know how to do it.
Well, either do I still.
We don't.
We still don't.
We're terrible at it. We need Lori.
I just remember when wanting you on so bad when I first met you.
You're bossy. Mm-hmm. I could see him being
joking
right now. Totally sorry, scary.
And I'm so sad that we aren't going to be together, really together, for Project Down and Dirty, and as I know you are.
How close are they going to let us get? Do we know? Will we see one another?
I think, of course, we'll be able to see each other, but okay. Yeah.
I'm curious about the table read that we're going to do on Monday night, October 26th. Will we be in a really big room at a really big table?
I hope so.
That'd be fun.
I think it'd be totally fun. Okay, so you're doing something cool tonight.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Tell everyone about this.
So there is a primetime special that's happening tonight on KSTP Channel 5. It's happening at 7 o'clock, and it is called Behind the Clouds, The Life and Music of Zach Sobiech. And so many people know, I think, the story and the name of Zach Sobiech. It's interesting, though, because I came to the Twin Cities essentially right at the beginning of 2014, like right at the beginning of January. Zach had passed away from osteosarcoma, a bone cancer that generally affects kids, of which they currently have no cure for, at middle of 2013.
Oh, gosh, was it that long ago already?
It's been that long.
Wow.
And so I mention that because I've always known this story peripherally. So I sort of like came in from the outside and have slowly gotten closer. Now, we had his mother, Laura, on the show. But you know how it is, even when you do a show and you have multiple guests on, you prep for that 6-minute segment. You do the work that you need to do to handle that conversation, and then you move on. Point of me rambling about all that is being able to host this show and do a couple of stories and conduct interviews with people who were really there. They were really involved. Mm-hmm. It was really eye-opening. And I have to say, I have at least 4 children in this house right now, okay?
They're all mine. What closet are you talking to us from?
I'm in my bedroom closet.
You sound really good.
Is it
color coordinated or what's happening?
You know, I'm not doing the home edit thing, so I'm not color coordinated right now. It's kind of disheveled, but there is there's always a guitar nearby.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to do that. But coming to you from the closet. So I have at least 4 kids in this house, and why I mention that is getting to know this story.
Oh, yeah.
And having children. Mm-hmm. And then considering Zach, who then I just see as this sweet little boy, right? When you're a parent, you just see all kids until they graduate college as just a little boy, a little girl. And just the sweetness. And then I look at his parents and I think, oh, goodness gracious, what kind of grace they must have had get through this experience. So it's an hour long look at all of the behind the scenes of how this came together here in the Twin Cities.
And it really, because he was on our show maybe 3 times, I think. And he was just a delightful young man. And And like you said, getting to know him, and I, as a parent at the time, I was just like, how do you deal with this, knowing your child is going to die? And the making of the song Clouds, and, you know, Dan Siemens, you know, influence in that. I'm sure you're interviewing. He's part of the show tonight.
Yeah. Dan will be part of the opening story, which, by the way, if you're sort of, you know, on the outside looking in, and maybe this is a new story to you, that's totally okay. You don't need to know anything going into the special that happens tonight at 7 o'clock. Dan sets the table because he was very influential. Yeah. Now, he, of course, is our big boss, but he works with KS95, and they were doing their radiothon, and then Zach was one of their kids. That they brought in and found out that he had this song. And then the song sort of comes across Dan's desk, and he says, well, maybe we should do something here. And then one thing leads to another. So we speak with Dan, Carl Diemer, a music producer from Atomic K Records, Mike Rominski, who was tapped to shoot the video the night before they shot the video that ended up going viral. They had no plan of shooting it. And then Dan Siemens said, maybe we should have somebody shoot this. But this, like, at least as a present for the family.
Right.
Obviously. It spun into much more than that. It went viral. Then Justin Baldoni, who directs the movie Clouds, which is a separate thing, which is coming out this Friday on Disney Plus. So Clouds, the movie, based on the life of Zach Sobiech, will be on Disney Plus on Friday. Tonight's special is, you know, kind of loosely tied to that, but just really looking at the real players. But Justin Baldoni, who, by the way,
from
Jane the Virgin.
I love him.
Wow. So I was zooming him last week. We had a little Zoom interview. Holy Hannah, this guy is very good looking.
Oh, he's amazing.
When he appeared,
amazing.
I did not know what you're going to say.
But does he have better hair than you, Steve?
Be honest.
Significantly.
Oh.
When he appeared and populated my Zoom screen, I thought, well, heck, I wonder how I get out of this. Because he could already see me. He has hair down to his shoulders right now.
Oh, he does.
He looks like he's ready to play one of Jesus's disciples in a Bible movie. I mean, and he's got this beard, piercing eyes, and everything he said, I was like, yes, okay, keep saying things. That sounds good, too.
I'm excited. I taped it because I don't know if I'm going to be home in time, and it's on tonight. So that must have been really cool.
Yeah, it was cool. Well, and what you find out from Justin, and you do hear from him in the special tonight, is how much he loves Minnesota and how much he respected the fact that this is a Minnesota story that ultimately came to life for the world to be inspired by as a result of one Minnesota family and then a Minnesota community that gathered around him. So it really comes together nice. But we hear from Zach's parents.
Yes.
We hear from people involved in the music video. Then, of course, it spun into the Clouds Choir for a Cause every year at Mall of America. They didn't know if anybody would show up that first year. And then they had thousands of people. And I was surprised to find out it's only grown since then. The last year, they had over 7,000 people singing Zach Sobiech's song at
up,
the...
Up, up.
Yes. Oh, goodness. And when you watch the video and you hear the voices... Now, this year, it's going to be virtual. That's sort of like the tentative plan, of course. But I really hope that they do it at Mall of America next year, because if they do, I will be there with all of my kids, because I want to experience that. It just seems so moving.
It's cool. And KS95 did such an amazing job, too. So it's really, I'm excited to watch this. I really am, because when it was all happening and it was just so cool, because it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And Zach was at several other things for work, and he was on our show, and he's the sweetest young man.
That's what everyone I talked to said.
And how he carried himself knowing he was going to die. That was something.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you go out and just keep going? And it's pretty amazing.
Well, think of the excuses that he would have had. You know, think of your own bad day. And how we all get into our bad moods and we get, you know, irritable. And not to say that Zach never got that way whenever he was battling this disease, but it seemed like he had really, like, positioned himself in purpose, which was, I'm going to live well during the days that I have left. And that's really inspiring. And then when you see his mom and dad at the Clouds Choir event, and she rests her head on his shoulder right at the end, and it's just like you see this mother have this emotional sigh of relief.
I know,
and
I do feel it.
Well, that's me. So I'm sitting there watching all this backstory stuff before I do these interviews, and I'm just sitting there getting all weepy, because you just think, again, it goes back to this little boy, right? I mean, this you see your own children in him. You see your family as you watch the Sobiech family, and think, to your point, Julia, look at that grace under fire, how they just managed to say, intentionally, we will share him in his dying days with the world. That was a family decision that they made. and it was really to our benefit, but there's some sacrifice that they had to do. So
absolutely,
it's really great that it's coming together in a movie. So the movie, to be clear again, Clouds, coming to Disney Plus this Friday. Behind the Clouds, the life and music of Zach Sobiech, a one-hour special happens tonight, 7 o'clock on Channel 5.
I was so excited to hear that you guys did this. I think it's just going to be amazing. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you what was coming up on your show tomorrow. this is an ongoing joke.
Julia, I don't know. I don't know what's coming up. And Julia, see, here's the thing. At the end of the Donna and Steve show, we always say, hey, tune in 3 o'clock for Twin Cities Live.
And I text them.
What are you doing?
Why are you promoting a different station? What are you doing here?
Lori and Julia's on at 3.
And I'm like, come on, because they're always promoting it. And I'm like, come on. And so so tomorrow on the Donna and Steve show.
Look at you, not be petty.
I know.
I have no idea what's coming up. I will be there all 3 hours. I had to step away halfway through a couple of shows, but we'll be there all 3 hours.
I'm a big fan.
Tomorrow.
I'm a fan. You know I am. I listen to your show every day, and so at the end, I'm just like, are they going to say it? Are they going to say it? Is it going to happen?
Listen,
is it going to happen?
I'm going to give you such a good plug at the end of the Don and Steve show tomorrow. You listen, and then you listen to it later on podcast again, on demand, anytime you're feeling down.
We're listening. Lori's back tomorrow, too. So
oh, great. Just, good. I'll
give it a big plug. Brittany was great. But anyway, Steve, this is cool. So tonight on Channel 5 at 7 o'clock, behind the scenes. And thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
I know you only have 7 jobs. So
I know. I got to go take the puppy out.
All right. Thank you. All right, bye. When we come back, we've got the rest of the headlines. Oh, thanks for playing that, Rocco.
That's so sad. Good.
Wait, and remember all the musicians who did covers of this?
See,
it became so viral.
Yeah.
This is the Zach Sobiech song. And tonight, like we were just talking on Channel 5, at 7 o'clock, a really cool program behind the scenes of the making of the song, which started the movement, which really brought a lot of awareness to his type of cancer that Zach Sobiech had. And his family is so amazing. I'm really excited for the movie. I was reading on IMDb, which is a international movie database.
Mm-hmm.
They gave the movie a 9.5. I never
huge.
See anything over really a little over an 8, a 9.5. So if you have Disney Plus, that's going to be streaming Friday night as well. So that was just fun to talk to Steve. That song makes me cry.
I know.
I remember walking out one day after he was on our show. And I had to get something from my car, or somehow we walked out together, him and his girlfriend. And he was just so normal, just a kid getting in his car to drive home. And it was just.
It's a lot.
So anyway, that will be cool.
And while you're on Disney Plus Friday night, you could also watch.
What? Who's got a password for me?
Hocus Pocus.
For crying out loud, of
See,
course.
You were feeling emo. We had to bring you back down, down.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow, I did get...
I felt feelings when we were talking to Steve, just because I can't even imagine. I look at my nephews and think of how lucky, that's all you want.
Everyone's lucky to have time right now.
Everybody's lucky to have time. That's all you want is happy kids. And it's just like, when you think that through, you get emotional. Mm-hmm. And then that song just is so good. It just hits that spot. And next thing you know, you're like ugly crying alone in the studio.
There you go. But I've got you here.
Yeah, so I'll stare back.
Okay, so, and you know, it just puts a lot into perspective too, mm-hmm. which I think is really hard for everybody to do right now because we're just kind of at our wit's end. But we have, you know, our health.
Yeah.
And the sun's out right now, parts of the city. Something that if you've wanted to, which is a great, great program, and it was the number one program last year on cable,
mm-hmm.
was Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And the season 3 is now available. It's on Peacock.
You're free.
Uh-huh. So that has just come recently available. So if people have been wanting to see season 3, you can check that out.
Is that it? Are they done now or
they're going to still do it.
Okay.
No, it had such an ending.
Did it? I hadn't seen it. I just started watching Yellowstone. I like it.
Oh.
I mean, the daughter is everything.
She's everything. Yeah. She's British. Remember how we were talking about all these British people yesterday, Rocco having all these roles, and we didn't know that they were British.
Yeah, Kelly Riley is her name. She plays Beth Dutton.
Yeah, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Tracee Ellis Ross is on the cover of Self magazine, and mm-hmm. she's Diana Ross's daughter, and she's on Blackish, and she's responsible for so many different things. She's absolutely lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what she had to say. So during the pandemic, when we were really just kind of confined to our homes because no one really knew what was going on.
Yeah.
She said that she's made every room in her house kind of be a zen place, a place for meditation, a place for, you know, just really enjoying herself in her home. And she went on to say, I'm happily single, though it doesn't mean I'm not open to and don't want a relationship. But in my wonderful and robust experience of being single, I've learned to have a productive relationship with loneliness, an intensely juicy relationship with my soulful solitude. I really enjoy my company. And then she goes on to say, and I just love that.
Because
I kind of feel, I mean, I would love to be in a relationship, but I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, so I loved her saying this because everyone thinks, you know, well, you know, poor you.
Yeah.
But I just think she's really a lovely woman.
I know. I love that. I mean, you can tell she gets to make the call on her house when she says every place is a meditation. You know, she doesn't have kids or some husband or significant other she has to ask. Because, like, having my own place was awesome. I got to make the calls on every aspect, and that I miss 100%.
When people come over and I have a white couch and white rug and white stuff, and they're like, oh,
I know, it's beautiful.
What it's like to live alone, because you can have white things.
You can have those things.
But now the new fabrics, you can do it. And she goes on to say that, she said, one of the things, we're talking about Tracee Ellis Ross, one of the things that's been lovely to discover is how I care for myself and how I actively love myself. And I believe that love is an action. You get back what you put in. And she goes on to say, as a 47-year-old daughter of the iconic Diana Ross, I used to spend so much time trying to be perfect, to get it perfect, but that's not realistic. I like who I am. And I just thought that's a good, she's good.
And that's a lot of self-work.
Oh, she's good.
Yeah, she's good. We're into that.
And she's so brilliant and smart and funny. I just think she's one of the most talented women.
Yeah.
And her fashion sense is so fun.
Oh, it's amazing.
And she just makes fun of herself. And she's someone that
so much warmth comes from her.
Admire. Now, I want to hear you guys thumbs up or thumbs down on this idea. They're going to be doing Toto, the doggone amazing story of the Wizard of Oz. It's going to be a movie telling the story of Toto, the Wizard of Oz dog, from the point of view of Dorothy's loyal companion. You think so? Thumbs up. I got to hear. What do you got, Rocco?
You know, it sounds like something my kid would like. Yeah.
I wonder, though, if it hits the opposite of a sweet spot, though, where it's two people who like Wizard of Oz, and being for a young audience, it's not going to mesh.
TBD is what I think is going to happen out of
TBD.
That. But it's a musical.
Oh, it's a musical.
Didn't I say that? Well, maybe I read it wrong.
So it's like Wicked.
Maybe. Yes.
I'd like that. Oh, I loved
what
Wicked.
What a great way of putting that. I loved Wicked. All right. It was so nice to spend time.
Thanks Lori's for having me.
Lori's coming back tomorrow. You're just a delight.
Just
thank
pick
you. And
me
Rocco,
out.
Thank you. And everyone have a great night. And we're back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.